You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk to a Wisconsin expert on servant leadership who has advice on changing the way leaders think and act from the U.S. president on down.
First, as a combined natural resource, the Great Lakes contain 20% of all the fresh surface water on our planet. 10% of that comes from Lake Superior alone. The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative was established in 2009 under the Obama administration, the goal to address a multitude of issues and challenges facing the Great Lakes.
Northland College in Ashland recently convened a one-day summit on Madeline Island to identify accomplishments, challenges, and future priorities for the Great Lakes Initiative going forward on the eve of a transition to a new presidential administration.
Our next guest authored a report about the findings from that summit. Copies of the report were sent to the Trump and Clinton campaigns before the election. Both campaigns expressed support for the initiative.
Ron Seeley is a freelance science and environment reporter and a science lecturer in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison. Ron, welcome to Central Time.
Well, happy to be here.
So why have a summit about the future of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative now?
Well, I think, of course, at the time, this was the last week in September when the group convened. On Madeline Island, there's a group of environmental leaders and experts who've been deeply involved in the Great Lakes Restoration Initiatives over the last 6 years. And at that time, we were on the cusp of, the election, and there was a feeling that with a change in the air one way or another, it was important to lay this program out for whoever the president might be and their transition teams and to give them information and important background about the restoration initiative. It's such an important environmental program here in the Great Lakes region and for states such as Wisconsin. $2.2 billion, it's a lot of money. Funding for is pending for the coming year. House approved funding just before recess for the election, and the Senate is due to take it up, or it may go to a conference committee, I believe, when they reconvene. So it was a chance to take a hard look at the program, to talk about the things that it has accomplished, which are many, and also to lay out a future and to encourage whoever is in office to continue it and build on the success that it's had over the last 7 years.
So you said it has been successful over the past 7 years. What has it accomplished so far?
Well, it's from really cleaning up. I think the premier thing that people have noticed the most are the cleanups of the concentrated toxic waste areas where those toxic waste have concentrated. Good example here, of course, in Wisconsin is the Fox River and the PCBs and so forth. But there are a number of these places. The Buffalo River is another one. Three of these areas, and there are dozens of them, and not a lot had been accomplished on these before the initiative came into being. And just in the last 5 years, three of them have been cleaned up to the point of being basically taken off the list. And the Buffalo example is a good one because that is a typical of these Great Lake cities that you see that have sort of turned their back on the lakes. And for many, many years after the collapse of many of the industries along these lakes, these were sort of desolate, abandoned industrial areas. And in Buffalo, that area, with the cleanup of the lake and the riverfront, that area has now been revived. There's boardwalks and shops. I talked to a fellow from Buffalo while I was at the meeting, and he said there are kayak jams on the river now. So that's a good thing. And you see that in a number of places around the Great Lakes due to this funding.
Now, once a site is delisted or restored, does it still need special care and funding, or is it kind of mission accomplished?
Yeah, for those areas, it is. But, there's a lot of work to be done on areas yet to be cleaned up. These sediments have been there for years and years, so it takes a lot of work to get them cleaned up. But there are other projects and efforts. For instance, invasive species is a huge issue, and money has gone towards projects to, for instance, the Asian carp has gotten a lot of attention, and the approach that the initiative has taken is to actually create early warning systems that will allow us to detect these invasives before they actually get into the water basins, and for instance, with the Asian carp, there were barriers erected and other steps taken that have really prevented the spread of the carp. So everything from invasives to restoring habitat for wildlife, any number of things. Here in Wisconsin, Shawamigan Bay was a benefactor, and now it's one of the great smallmouth fisheries now. So there are a number of projects can be pointed to, and these are important because they not only clean up the environment, but they boost the economic, there are economic benefits to these cleanups, which is important considering our president-elect and the emphasis that he seems to want to place on cities and improving the lot of the cities. And these waterfronts are oftentimes are in these big old industrial cities in the Great Lakes area.
Now, one of the top concerns to come out of this report is a request for funding that is given in five-year chunks instead of 1 year at a time. Why is that important?
Yeah, I think these projects, as you can tell from what I've described, are not short-term, one-year or six-month projects. They tend to stretch out over multiple years, and to undertake these is, it's a pretty complicated a process that involves local governments and state governments, as well as the EPA and the feds. And so this is a very collaborative effort, which is something that makes it unique, too. But the funding, to have the funding stretched over the period of time that the project is going to last, is more assurance that the project is going to get done. I believe the bill actually that is due to go to committee it does have a recommendation for funding over 5 years, as was recommended in the report, and it's funded. It's $300 billion a year. It's not a small amount of money. So, but certainly these people who convened on Madeline Island are. It was a pretty hard look at it. I mean, there was some criticism, too, that we need to rely less on the EPA and the federal agencies and more collaboration with private agents, private companies and local communities and so forth to partner in these areas. And it's also a way to get shared dollars, too, to put into these projects. But any of us who have spent a lot of time on the Great Lakes, as a lot of us have, in this part of the country, I think can understand how important it is to keep these places so that you can use them and enjoy them and really appreciate them.
Ron Seeley is with us right now. He's a science and environment writer, and he wrote a new report looking at the future of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative after a recent summit on Madeline Island with Northland College. And Ron, there were tribal representatives at this summit, and going forward, what kind of role might they play in the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative?
That's a really important part of this, and it was one of the I think we ended up with something like 12 policy points, and the tribes really deserve their own section of this, and they're a really important part of this because of the lands that they do that are part of their sovereign nations and reservations around the lakes. There's 30 some these around the lakes, and we're most familiar probably with one of the ones that's been in the news lately, obviously, is Bad River with the Pinoki mine proposal in the last two, 3 years. And it's a good example of an area that needs special attention. It's the largest, one of the largest estuaries on Lake Superior and just acres and acres of rice beds there. The tribes are pretty much on their own when they take care of these areas, and the proposal was that they perhaps get separate funding under the Great Lakes Initiative, so they can have more control over these dollars to spend them as they see fit on their reservations. These reservations often have control of some of the most pristine areas of the Great Lakes, nearshore areas and the lakes, and also some of the most important ecologically. So their sovereign nature of the tribes puts them in sort of a special place where they can do things a little differently and approach protection a little differently. And so that, you know, the thought was that perhaps a separate piece of or a separate part of the pie for the tribes would be a good idea and lead to even more protection and cleanup in those areas.
And Ron, as we start to wrap up, this report that you authored, it was sent to both presidential campaign teams, not knowing at the time who was going to be president,
right.
And they
right.
both responded to it. So given that Donald Trump ultimately won the White House, what is the sense about how the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative will go over in a Republican-controlled Congress and with a Donald Trump White House?
I think like a lot of... Everybody's watching very closely, as we've all seen from watching the news. It's sort of fingers crossed here, but I think it's a more important time than ever to lay these programs out and to make the connection. I think, especially with the Trump administration, that is so focused on economy, and we've heard so much about reviving the economy and jobs and so forth, and. This initiative has a tremendous economic component. In fact, there was an economic analysis done prior to its approval and came to the conclusion that there was a projected need of about $26 billion in investments to really pull off this restoration, but that the amount of investment result in about $50 billion in long-term benefits to the national economy.
And we have to leave it there. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That was Ron Seeley. He's a science and environment writer and senior lecturer in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison, joining us to talk about a new report looking at the future of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
Coming up after the news, our guest says we need to rethink what it means to be a leader and embrace the idea of servant leadership. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.